Okay, the gospel reading is from Matthew. It's 25:14-30. Okay. For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off and at once traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward saying, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master replied, You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with 10 talents. For to you all, those who have made more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the word of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ.
With the bell ringers, thank you. This morning's gospel of Matthew text is called the Parable of the Talent. Thanks to Cindy Ma for your children's time message. Wonderful. Yes, this parable is one of the most famous and popular parables told by Jesus. I'm sure you all are familiar with this parable. 5 talents and 2 talents and 1 talent, right? Interestingly, there is another similar parable in the Gospel of Luke. Only 2 Gospels mentions about this parable. It is called the Parable of the 10 pounds, or simply the Parable of the Pound. It is pretty much the same parable as the Matthew's, except for the number of the pounds. 10 pounds, 5 pounds, and 1 pound. Yet, both stories' beginnings and the endings are basically identical. According to the early church historian Eusebius, interestingly, there is another version of the parable of the talent from the 2nd century writing called the Gospel of the Nazareans. In this parable, There are also three servants, and each of the three servants gets one talent equally. Everyone has an equal opportunity and the same start with the one talent. However, their outcomes are totally different. One multiplied, one stored, and one wasted. Then upon the master's return, the master receives one with joy, rebukes one, and puts one in prison. Even though the details are a little different, these stories, messages, and outcomes are the same. So, one of the common outcomes from these three stories is that those who have earned profit are truly praised by the master. These good and trustworthy servants are commended for their wise management, their risk-taking courage, and their successful outcomes. That's why some people call this parable, this story, as the parable of investment. And many people consider this parable as a story for stewardship, one of its lessons to be use it or lose it. Yes, it totally makes sense, and its message is true indeed. Let us focus on parable of the talent from the Gospel of Matthew this morning. While the 5-talent servant and the 2-talent servants are being praised as the good and trustworthy servant, the 1-talent servant who just kept the same 1 talent, however, is being rebuked as a wicked and lazy servant, and he is even being punished. However, this morning, let us look at this parable of the talent with a little different angle or perspective. We know that 5 servants and 2 servants are good and faithful servants. Of course, they deserve the master's praises and rewards for their hard work and toils. But what if this parable is not about multiplying your talent? What if this parable is also telling us another lesson through the 1-talent servant? Are you really sure when you read this parable that you would identify yourself as either the 5-talent or the 2-talent servant? How about identifying yourself with the 1-talent servant who was too afraid to take any risk? Maybe this parable can be a lesson for you and for me and for anyone who is facing with a potential failure, a possible bankruptcy, and some other possible bad outcomes. The 1-talent servant explains in verse 24, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not scatter seed." We see that this guy has a trust issue with his boss. He is trying to justify his action. No, in this case, his inaction, by saying in verse 25, "So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours." He was afraid. Afraid of what? Afraid of losing it from investing it. He was just playing it safe. I don't think this one talent servant is extra wicked or terribly disloyal. He just wanted to protect what belonged to the master rather than risking it and probably losing it. Unlike the servant who wasted and presented zero talent, this one talent servant at least safely and securely tried to do his best in keeping the same one talent. Aren't we doing the same thing time to time in our lives? We would like to play it safe rather than taking any chance or any risk. We would like to maintain the status quo rather than trying to do anything. If we must pick one key word from the parable, it would be afraid. Afraid. Yes, this one talent servant confesses that he was afraid. And this servant's same fear is also shown in your life, in my life, and everyone's life. This fear affects your life in everything. Even though my sermon title this morning is The Parable of Fearless Faith, in reality, there is no such a thing as fearless faith. Everyone is faced with fears in small ways or big. You are living with fears of everything. Just as this one talent servant, you have the fear of failure and rejection, the fear of being disciplined and punished, the fear of wasting and losing whatever it is, the fear of uncertainty and insecurity, the fear of the unknown dangers and challenges. See, you have the fear of every aspect of life. You cannot possibly live a fear-free life in the midst of living in fears. You must focus on your faith in God who transforms you. In one sense, some fears might be necessary in order to keep you alert and sane. However, on the other hand, too many fears over fears will make you to become frozen. One of the best books on overcoming fears is Rabbi Harold Kushner's Conquering Fear, Living Boldly in an Uncertain World. Interestingly, the author writes in the chapter 1 that besides the Ten Commandments, Moses' Ten Commandments, remember? The 11th commandment should be, don't be afraid. Then in the same chapter, he writes, quote, a small dose of fear keeps you alert and alive, but an overdose can leave us perpetually tense, emotionally closed, and paralyzed to the point of inaction. If we could take a pill to banish fear, or if we could have a small part of our brain removed so that we would never feel afraid, it would be a serious mistake. Our goal should not be the total absence of fear, but mastery of fear, being the master of our emotions rather than their slave. Our goal should be to recognize legitimate fears dismiss exaggerated fears and not let fear keep us from doing the things we yearn to do, unquote. You know, it's natural for you to be afraid. However, do not let your fear overtake you. Just as this scared and timid one talent servant who could not do anything, do not let your fear keep you from moving forward. Do not let your fear freeze you. While your fear can immobilize you, your faith will empower you. While your fear can paralyze you, your faith will free you and strengthen you. While your fear can fail you and lead you to all wrong, your faith will shine you and lead you to God's truth and righteousness. My brothers and sisters in Christ, Mark Twain also said, quote, courage is not the absence of fear, but the mastery of fear, unquote. With your faith in God, with your courage empowered by the Holy Spirit, you can be the master of your own fears in life. Do not become a slave of your own fear. I can call this parable as the parable of courage and faith. But I like the title, the parable of fearless faith, because to me it sounds much better and cooler. I'd like to close my sermon with Isaiah 41:10. Please join me in reading this passage. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please join me the hymn of dedication, Behold One Manner of Love.